Well, if you want to turn to Exodus again, chapter 32, right. To chapter 32. So there's an image that we had from last week. And as we begin tonight, put that back up. I'd like to, though, lay hold on that memorable and quite epic statement of Moses we read last week. Whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. And so that whole scene there of Moses coming down with Joshua, and they didn't know what had happened to Moses. And so they asked Aaron, give us a God that we can worship. And so he took all their earrings and cast them into the fire, and this calf came out. I can use Aaron's words. And they began to have a feast and to celebrate. And it just seems that the gathering was characterized by just shameful behavior and immorality, even so much that their enemies were just embarrassed on their behalf. And so Moses comes and he makes this call out as they are going to exercise the Lord's judgment, and says, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. And we saw that the tribe of Levi did exactly that. They came to him. So what we want to observe is that these from the tribe of Levi that separated themselves from the rest of Israel, and that this included separation from family. I've been thinking about the question that I asked, why should it be so hard for the people of God to be on the same side as God? I've been thinking about that, and right away, maybe our thoughts should go to this whole aspect of the reality that in standing on the Lord's side, it often brings us into confrontation with family, with loved ones. And so you do say, okay, that is hard. That does present a challenge to me. And these of the tribe of Levi, they were willing to separate themselves from all of Israel and from their family. And they did this in order to stand with the Lord. They did this in order to stand with the Lord. They did this so that they could stand on his side and to give him their loyalty. And that, over against the rebellion and unbelief and immorality and idolatry of the rest. And what a visual of this grand principle of separation to the Lord. What a visual we have given to us by the text in this story. I imagine, you use your imagination, you start to ponder things, you start to put the scene together, you take the details that you have and you try to imagine, and you've got artist depictions of the events that, you say, well, I could see that, being pretty accurate there, or you may find some fault with some pictures, but our imaginations go to work as we put the details together. And so I imagine Moses making his invitation, saying these words, making it loud and clear. And perhaps you try to figure out how it worked out practically. Maybe the message was passed through the camp of Israel by word of mouth. Perhaps there were those who were gathered there by him who could hear him, maybe some of the elders of the people. And this message went forth, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. I was thinking about that phrase, drawing a line in the sand. I looked it up. And apparently, it's attributed to it could be this person or that person, usually some kind of military figure that draws a line in the sand as some way communicating to the adversary that they're going to do something. So they draw a line in the sand. They say, I'm going to cross this line, or don't you cross this line. But I think it might make perfect sense that drawing a line in the sand originated earlier than what you might find on the internet. Maybe it originated right here in this story. In the wilderness where there was sand. And I wonder that maybe he took his staff, maybe he just drew a line right on the sand and was on one side, and Israel on the other side, and was saying, "Whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me." And then to see these of the tribe of Levi, to picture it, to see these of the tribe of Levi making their way past their fellow Israelites. They were among them, but then can you picture them walking past them? These others stood still, but they walked past them. And then out from the midst of them, they came, standing there with Moses. And when we think about this story, I don't know if you're like me, but when you read the story and you think about this, even before you take in any real thought to personal application, just on the surface, just gathering up the details and reading the story, I don't know if you're like me, but you admire these Levites. These are the heroes of the story, you know? And you say, these are some great men. These are some great men. Look what they did. And you just respect them for it. But what a visual for us, a real life illustration of what it looks like to stand on God's side. But there is something more to help us further to get this visual. There's something more. It's there at the beginning of verse 29. It says, Moses stood at the entrance, or you might have the gate of the camp. This is where this call went forth. Now, if you have the word entrance, and it probably works even well enough with gates, but especially the word entrance, it gives the impression of people coming into the camp. Entrance, right? You're entering into the camp. But here, what is it that is happening? Thankful for ChatGPT. Moses, as it would seem, has gone out to the entrance of the camp from the midst of the camp. And I would suggest that gives us the visual. Right? We're talking about this visual depiction of what it means to stand with the Lord from the text, this visual. It gives us this visual of those of Levi going out from the midst of the camp in order to go to where Moses was, in order to stand with the Lord. So just try and picture this, even as that picture has it before us, that it's not something that's taking place within the camp. Moses has gone out, and that's why it may be a little bit, you have to kind of process it to say it's at the entrance of the gate of the camp. But it's really, right, it's at the very outskirts of the camp he's gone. And they're all coming, those who would side with him, those who would side with the Lord are leaving in a certain sense. It's like they're heading towards the exit. They're heading out of the camp to where Moses is to stand with him, to stand with the Lord. And you want to, this is kind of a fun detail. And again, I don't know how you might imagine this, but as you picture those from Levi coming out of the camp towards Moses, and he says, "Come to me." I don't know how you picture them. Do you picture them coming and standing before him? I mean, that very well could have been the case. That very well could have been the case. I know that for me, like my first thought is that whole concept of drawing a line in the sand and he's standing on one side. And as they come, they stand with him or behind him. So I'm thinking in that way. Now, what makes that an interesting proposition to think of it happening that way is that if he's standing at the gate, at the entrance, then if they go behind him, they're outside the camp. They're outside the camp. It's an interesting concept to have to go outside the camp to stand with the Lord. Go outside the camp of Israel to stand with the servant of the Lord. But they were becoming separated ones. They were becoming separated ones. It's an interesting thought to consider that really the whole nation was separated. You can find this in various places. Exodus 33, 16, and Leviticus 20, 24, and 26, and other places, no doubt, that Israel as a whole was a separated nation. God had chosen them and brought them out of Egypt, to be his own special people, and they were to be a separated nation, separated from all the other nations. That's why they have so many of those laws that they had, were to make sure that there was this practical way in which they could apply this separation in the midst of all the nations that they were. They had these laws that helped to keep them as a separated people. Yet we find the reality that even among the people of God, there are those who separate themselves. They separate because they not only sided with the Lord in regard to the gospel, just as all the others did. Yes, they're separate with all the others in that same way because they believed the gospel, they obeyed the gospel, and they've come out of their captivity just as the others. But it's because they continue to side with the Lord. We might say that, and I kind of like this, I'm going to take this even further here, but we might say that they became separated ones among separated ones. Here at this time, those from Levi did this. They became separated ones among separated ones. It's interesting. I was not sure where this message was going to go as I was studying. I had some different ideas. And at this point, there was another direction, and I'm not going to go that direction, but I just want to make mention of it because I might want to develop it another time. But the chance is I might not ever bring it here. I don't know, because just so I just figured I would just communicate a bit of it before we go on. Those among Israel, a separated nation. I mean, I'm going to say the way I'm saying this very purposeful, and I'm sure you're going to track it. Those among Israel, a separated nation, heard a call from the servant of the Lord, Moses, to come to him if indeed they were on the Lord's side. There were those who did just that, and they separated themselves from their brethren and went to the one who had been sent by God. And in siding with the servant of God, they were siding with God. Now, that sounds familiar. I don't know if you could think of another servant that would make a call to be sided with, that they would come right when this other servant sent by God would, in so many words, make a call to come to him, even among Israel. And if there were those among the nation who truly wanted to stand on God's side, they would come to him. And they would come to him even what at the expense of relationships of the closest kind. The servant had said he had even come to bring a sword and that a family would be divided up against itself. Of course, we're speaking of Jesus. I mean, I just love the connections. I thought it was going to go in that direction and just study this out and bring a bunch of things and go to the New Testament and look at the Lord Jesus, but it's just I just presented in a shorter way tonight. Just amazing to think the connection there, because Moses told the Lord told Moses to tell the children of Israel, write these words. The Lord said to me, I will raise up for you up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him, and it shall be that whoever will not hear my words which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. Deuteronomy 18, 17 to 19. So, like, it should be a no-brainer for us to make the connection that when I think of Moses, and for some reason, while I'm thinking of Moses, I think of Jesus. And, like, well done. Well done. Because the scripture says that a prophet will be raised up just like Moses. And we know that that's speaking of the Messiah. We know that's speaking of Christ. So to think of him among his earthly brethren, making this call out to them that if you want to stand with Yahweh, if God is really your father, you would love me. You will come stand with me. You'll put your faith in me. There's that whole issue, especially in the Gospel of John, of people claiming to be with God but rejecting Christ. It says, you cannot say that you side with God unless you stand with me. So Moses could say that too. You cannot say, Israel, that you side with God unless you're willing to come stand with me. And there were those in Israel, even in Jesus' day, who went out from the midst of their brethren. They passed, they rubbed shoulders against others who stood still, and they went to him. They lost many a relationship, perhaps, because of that. I think of those last thing I'm going to say on this, those wonderful verses when I was before talking about maybe those from Levi that came out to Moses standing behind him. And so now, if Moses is at the edge of the camp, at the entrance, and they're behind him, they are not outside the camp. And of course, maybe the verse came to mind even as I was saying that from Hebrews that says, therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Just neat the way these things connect. You just know that these similarities have much purpose to them. But any thoughts just on this aspect of what I wasn't going to talk about?
I was thinking also of Joshua, made the same statement. Who will stand? Me and my
As for
house.
me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
In general, Ezekiel, when he had between prophets of Baal and Jezebel, and then the prophets of God. Elijah, thank you.
If the Lord is God, then serve him, right? If Baal is God, serve him. Like, stop floundering between two opinions. Pick who you're going to serve. Stand on the Lord's side. I thought of John the Baptist too, and I think of a servant sent by God that people were supposed to stand with. If they were going to stand with the Lord, they would go out with John the Baptist and be baptized by him and confess their sins. But there were those who rejected the will of God for themselves. And so when Jesus comes, they are not standing with God because they wouldn't go out to John the Baptist. They're not standing with God. And it's already evident because of the way they treated John the Baptist. Well, I got a question here that might get now just who did Levi kill? Who did Levi kill? Those of Levi who went through the camp, who did they kill? So I gotta like this is just an interesting little thing because I wanna get to a certain point, and I'm building a little bit on some conjecture here, so like you can tell me what you think about this. But look at we're in Exodus 32, look at 26 to 29. Then Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. And he said to them, thus says Yahweh, God of Israel, let every man put his sword on his side and go in and out from entrance to entrance throughout the camp. Let every man kill his brother, every man his companion, every man his neighbor. So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. It's interesting if they have the tribes, they're going from entrance to entrance. I don't know if we can visualize that all the tribes are arranged in order like they would be after the tabernacle was built and there's given instructions. All right, this tribe, and this tribe are on the north side. This tribe and this tribe and this tribe are on the south side. I don't know if there was that kind of organization. So there might have been a mixture. People might have been together from different tribes, but they're going from one entrance to another. But we read in another place also in Deuteronomy 33:9. Of Levi, Moses said this, who says of his father and mother, I have not seen them, nor did he acknowledge his brothers or know his own children, for they have observed your word and kept your covenant. I looked into this. I'm like, seems to me that when Moses is speaking about Levi in this way, not acknowledging father, mother, brothers, children, he's referring back to this event. So I pulled out a few books. I got a few books. I just want to check, see what other people think. And it does seem to be the consensus that, like my limited investigation, but it does seem to be understood that when Moses is speaking in that way about Levi, he's referring back to this, that they were killing their family. The emphasis seems to be on their own family. And what you'll notice is I don't think it was, you can't conclude that they were killing necessarily everyone that had partaken in the worship of the idol, because look at verse 30. Now it came to pass on the next day that Moses said to the people, so this is the next day, you have committed a great sin. Now I will go up to Yahweh. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin. Moses returned to Yahweh and said, oh, these people have committed a great sin and have made for themselves a god of gold. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book which you have written. Yahweh said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. Now, therefore, go lead the people to the place that I have spoken to you. Behold, my angel shall go before you. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit for punishment, I will visit punishment upon them for their sin. So Yahweh plagued the people because of what they did with the calf which Aaron made. So this going forth of Levi with their swords to kill, this didn't, it doesn't, I mean, unless, I mean, you could share your thoughts too, but this does not give the impression that they took care of everybody that was involved in this. A plague came, and it says the plague was because of what the people had done with the calf which Aaron had made. So here's my question. I'm wondering, since the emphasis is on family, did Levi deal with their own family? Did Levi deal with their own family in this, even exclusively? Now, here's the reason why it's such an interesting thought, okay? And I know we can't be absolutely certain about that. All I know is the emphasis is on their family. But the detail that throws me off a little bit is that they're going from entrance to entrance. And to think about Levi scattered all over, that you have to go from entrance to entrance, I know that's a bit of a hard sell. That's why I suggested before that they haven't been separated by their tribes as of yet. So maybe that's plausible. Or maybe it's just the emphasis. Maybe the majority of who they slew was their family. But here's the point. I find this significant because it would make Levi the only tribe by themselves. And that is interesting because in purifying themselves, they were prepared for an honorable work that the Lord was going to bestow on them. That this tribe was the only tribe that went through against their own brethren and purified themselves. And so God chose them. They had purified themselves, and then God chose them for the special task. The verse that I think of is this one. It's from the New Testament, and I know there's some discussion as to who this is speaking about. I mean, we could talk about this too. I just think it's talking about the people of God. This is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, those which are dishonoring, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. And when I'm thinking about these things, I mean, my mind went right to this verse. I said, you know, here is a tribe and they have purified themselves. And the Lord says, oh, you're going to purify yourselves? Well, I got a work for you to do. You have cleansed yourself. And so I'm going to put you into a special service. I've got a work for you to do. It's no wonder a few verses earlier in 2 Timothy, Paul writes, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. And so there's this action by Levi to purify themselves and in a certain sense to be diligent to be present themselves approved to God. And so God puts them right into service. It seems like this is the very reason that God set them apart out from among their brethren to be the priestly tribe. It seems like it just seems like that is the connection. I've read it so many times over the years that that is the connection as to why Levi was chosen. That Aaron and the priests, they were already chosen and they were of the tribe of Levi. So it does make it a little confusing that it seems that that was already decided. But to take the whole tribe, this is what we read in various places. Like in Numbers, it says, chapter 16, verses 9 to 10, the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the work of the tabernacle of Yahweh, and to stand before the congregation to serve them. And he has brought you near to himself, you and all your brethren, the sons of Levi. In Deuteronomy 10, verse 8, it says, Yahweh separated the tribe of Levi to bear the ark of the covenant of Yahweh, to stand before Yahweh, to minister to him, and to bless his name. And I see what I got here. I'm gonna, because I want to open up for some discussion here, and I see my time. Like, I was gonna go to Numbers 18, where it just talks about the giving of the Levites to Aaron and the priests as a gift. God just says, I'm giving you the tribe of Levi as a gift. And they are going to serve you. They are going to serve the whole congregation of Israel. And I'm going to bring them near to myself. And then Numbers chapter 3, verses 5 to 9. Just serving in the house of God, serving Aaron and the priests. And here's a quote from that Numbers chapter 3, verses 5 to 9. Attend to the needs of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of meeting. So it makes me smile to follow this logic out, to follow this thought flow out. Levi listened to the voice of the Lord and obeyed him in the gospel by which they came out of Egypt. They, along with the rest of the tribes, were a separated people. Then they separated themselves among separated ones in answering the call of Moses. Then God separated them apart for the work of the tabernacle. And I just love what you're going to see here. It sounds a little wordy, but separated ones among separated ones, separated further by God to do a separated work. That's the Levites. That's them. They were separated because they believed the gospel along with the others, but then among those separated, they separated themselves. And then, as a response to how they separated themselves, God separated them and gave them a separated work to do. And hopefully, like, our hearts stir with admiration, and we say to our own souls, like, I want to be like that. Those are the heroes of the story. I want to be like that, to say, I am separated. I'm a separated one. I believe the gospel. I sided with God in regard to that, and I'm saved. And I am among those who are separated. But not all of them continue to side with God. But I'm determined to. So I will be a separated one among separated ones. And in so doing, be separated by God to do a separated work. And even like the tribe of Levi, for the purpose of the service in the house of God and for the sake of his assembly. And what you say is, what an honor. What an honor. How we looked up to those in the tribe of Levi who came to Moses and answered that call to stand on the Lord's side, even though it meant that they had to go against their own brethren and against their own family. Just say, yeah, I can imagine that was a great difficulty at times. We go ahead to the Lord Jesus in the midst of the children of Israel when he came in the flesh, and to stand with him. Just what it cost in regard to family, but also what a blessing. Yes, what a blessing. Remember that? We read that about in our story about Levi. After they had made their stand with Moses and had executed the Lord's judgment, verse 29, Moses, the servant of the Lord, had said to them, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, that he may bestow on you a blessing this day. For every man as opposed to his son and his brother, it was a blessing that came to them. You know, in all of this, God blessed them. You know, who I also thought of was, remember the story of Phineas? Man, what a story that is, right? I mean, same scene, wilderness scene. Moses is on the scene there, children of Israel, again behaving immorally, again in rebellion. And here's the man who wants to stand with the Lord, so much so that he gets up from everyone weeping, grabs a javelin, goes into the tent, thrusts this man and woman through, and the plague stops at that moment. Lord says, I'm going to bless that man. I'm going to bless that man. He stood with me in the midst of my own people who are separated. He separated himself in the midst of them. I'm going to bless him, you know. Yes, what a blessing comes to those among his people, his separated people who will separate themselves to his side. He brings them nearer to himself. He has a work for them to do that he can't give to others. Think about Paul right now, just coming to mind right now, where Paul says, I can't send anyone to you. Everyone's seeking their own things and not the things which are of Christ Jesus. And I have no thought that he's speaking about anybody but believers when he says that. Why would he send an unbeliever to other believers? He's talking about believers. I have no one to send to you because everyone seeks their own interests. But you know, Timothy. I'm going to send him to you. A separated one among separated ones, and a work for him that he couldn't, that couldn't be given to others. And therefore, a blessing to Timothy, and a blessing to everyone that Timothy was sent to, everyone that Timothy was in the midst of. He was a blessing to them because he was a separated one among separated ones, and the work, that separated work that was given for him to do. Oh, those among Levi who answered the call. Serve as such an example to us that it is in the heart of God to bless those who will take his side. And I kind of smiled to myself thinking about, I think I said to one of the other weeks, about God looking down on the earth and just saying, is there anyone among my own people? I mean, can I just find a few more who will stand with me on some of these, and I don't know if we'll get to it, practical issues of life, but will someone stand with me among my own people? And I thought with a smile tonight, as another way to say that, another way to say that is, where is someone I can bless? Where is someone I can bless? You know, I'm looking, I've got a heart that's so generous and I'm so rich and I'm just ready to open up my hand upon somebody who will separate themselves from among their brethren and side with me. And boy, would I bless them and make them a blessing. Oh, I really want to stand with God among the people of God myself, right? I just want that. And I know that you do too, and be blessed by God and be a blessing to his people, even though I know it will bring conflict, that relationships, even with some of my own brethren, will suffer. Maybe even the relationships kind of, I hate to say it, but die. Want to side with the Lord. So, you know, I go back, I'm not going to go through it again. I just go back to that verse, though. It's just such a great verse just to be separated apart from those things that are dishonoring, even from those who are behaving dishonorably, so that I can be a vessel for honor, be set apart, useful for the master, have a work that I can do. Well, maybe I'll pause here. Just like, what are your thoughts just on this whole concept of being a separated one among separated ones and having God then separate us for a work, you know, he did with Levi.
And I think Psalm 4 says, I'll set apart him and his God that promotes
Oh,
all.
yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. I gotta put that one down. What's that one again?
I think Psalm 4.
And
Look it up.
yeah, I'll read the whole song, but they're usually too long.
It's all like. No, it's verse 3.
Verse 3.
Yeah, Psalm 4, verse 3. But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call their call. Another verse in 2 Corinthians says, wherefore come out from among them and being separate, touch not the unclean thing.
Yeah.
I'll be a father to you and a
Yeah.
son to daughters.
Amen.
Yeah.
That was actually what I was thinking last week. I was going to go to was that whole passage, and that's what I was thinking of when I said about a blessing. It's such a blessing to come out from among them. The blessing is that he says, "I will receive you, and I'll be a father to you, and you'll be sons and daughters to me." Precious promises, beloved. Chapter 7, verse 1. Therefore, let us pursue holiness in the fear of God. I think it says in chapter 7, verse 1. Just, but not every Christian's doing that. I think of that passage. Not every Christian comes out and separates themselves. Not every Christian, even we've talked about it here. I've shared on Romans 12. And it's a very popular passage to speak on, right? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Not every Christian has done that. But it needs to be a holy sacrifice if it's to be accepted. And once it's accepted, then, put right into service. I can be a blessing. Not every Christian's done that. So not every Christian is a separated one. Well, among separated ones, and a separated one in like a very practical sense, And I was thinking I may have got a list here of just like practical things. Like the first thing that comes to mind is because it was in the story is the morality. Like, can I take the Lord's side in the world today on issues of morality? Or am I moved by the world? Am I moved away from what God has said? Remember, he said, we ought to know how to stand with God because he speaks. We ought to know. We're not left in the dark. He's given us light, and we ought to know how to stand with God. And in issues of morality, it's like, can I stand with him? Michelle and I have a situation, a recent situation that's developed with somebody, and it's just like, it's going to be hard to go forward in this, but things have to be said. You got to make a decision to side with the Lord or not. You say, am I siding with the Lord or am I not? And I know it's going to affect this relationship, but it's like you feel the call. Oh, come over here and stand with me. Don't stand with the world. Don't stand with those of my people who know what I've said but don't want to obey it. Don't stand with them. Separate yourself out from them. And of course you're praying for them and you're hoping you're available in any way that God might use you to just bring them back to where they should be. But there's also a place for just being like, I can't eat a meal with you. Can't eat a meal with you. So issues of morality, I think about worldliness. I remember a friend I was close with for a long time, and just it's interesting how the Lord did it. He didn't put me, I don't know, maybe it's just because I was young and maybe I should have been more confrontational, but the way the Lord worked it out is that he just moved me. I think he could see my heart, and I was displeased with the growing traces of worldliness in this friend. And the Lord just helped me just to part ways, It just felt right. It felt good because I didn't want to go where he was going, and I didn't want to stand with the things that he thought were humorous and the things that you would be entertained with. And it just felt good to be standing on the Lord's side, But that affected that relationship, even to this day. I think about issues like unequally yoked. Like it's just like that's the passage there in 2 Corinthians 6. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Like just talking to a young sister. I can't believe the real life examples that are just coming to mind here. I didn't even think about previously, but just talking to a young sister and she's not letting on, but I know the situation because of the family. And she's like, well, actually, no, I do know. Sorry, I do know that she is with in a relationship with an unbeliever. And so she has lost the relationship of her family because they're taking a stand. Like, we are not with you in this. You are in a relationship with an unbeliever. You are a Christian. It goes clearly against the word of God. And she wants it to all be overlooked, and she thinks it's unloving. I've actually been thinking about telling her, really, it's unloving of you because you have chosen to go this way and have severed the relationship of people who want to honor God. You have severed the relationship of your own family. and your own family is trying to adhere to what they read in the scriptures, take a stand with the Lord, and you don't love them enough to stand with them, you're going the other way, and it's your fault. Okay, so just like be so angry, I'm sure. But and then there's maybe a lighter subject. Think of hospitality. Michelle and I just very much it's on our hearts. Like we think about that, and we realize the scriptures have again and again and again, the word of God says to be hospitable to one another. And you're like, on something like that, am I standing with the Lord or am I not? Do I not see what he wants for his people to be doing? Do I stand with him, or do I just like this is maybe a little bit more of a overlooked doctrine, but it's there. It's there a lot, and it's what God would desire for his people, commands his people. So I say, am I standing on the other side of that issue? Am I standing over here on that issue, or am I standing really with the Lord? And so you just go through the scriptures. One of the big areas is the church. Like that's huge, huge issue. Like what I just saw some video of some woman that wants to tear pages out of the Bible because she reads the portion that says that women are not supposed to speak in church. And so she's like, no, this is, we just got to get rid of this. We need a third testament, I think she said. Maybe some of you have seen that. But like, and it's this whole concept of like, I can do whatever I want and I can do church. I don't have to have regard for what the Lord has said. I still remember what Randy Amos used to say. It was just so, I just get a chuckle. And I'd sat under him for so many years. I must have heard this story multiple times, but he would, and now I tell it multiple times. But he would say that, like, if he came over to my house and was entertaining him and everything, and I had to go out for something, and I was gone for a little while, and while I was gone, he painted my house pink, and I came home like, "What, Randy? What did you do? Why'd you paint my house pink?" He would say, "Well, I like pink." I would say, "But this isn't your house. This is my house. You can't just do whatever you want in my house." And so he would use that as a comparison with the church, and people just come in and they say, "We could do whatever we want," and they're like, this is not your house. And the Lord has spoken. He has told us how to side with him. And I need to make a decision. Am I going to side with him or not? Am I going to be a separated one among separated people? And might be consequential. It might be difficult, sever relationships. But I got to make that decision, whether in a very practical way. And lots of these areas and more. I find out what God has said, and then it's up to me. Am I going to stand with them or not? So as I just finished up here, I just put up this picture I had from the beginning. Again, ChatGPT just helped me out here. Just told it what I wanted, and so classic, depiction of Jesus's feet there, and just someone like us today, just standing with him. I just asked that question. Will I not stand on the Lord's side? I want to honor him. I also want to be blessed by him. And I also want to be a blessing to others. There's a work for me to do. There's a work for every one of us to do. If we would separate ourselves, he'll give us some beautiful work to do. And just like he did for Levi, they were a blessing to the whole nation. They really were. Really were. So any final thoughts, like you?
Who was the greatest example of a man who stood with God?
Jesus?
Yes. He said he prayed in the garden, nevertheless, not my will, thine be done. And that's the ultimate example of standing with God.
Amen. Look what it cost him, right? Look at how blessed he is now, right? And how blessed everyone is because of that, Just follow my example. Just follow this example.
Awesome.
All right. Well, thank you for having me come. It's been fun. This is like a kind of a whole new thing I hope to do again somewhere else now because I enjoyed talking about these things. But that's great. Our gracious God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, we do bow before you, and we know that we have sided with you in regard to the gospel, and because of it, we've been saved. And how blessed we are because we obeyed you, we listened to your voice, and we sided with you in regard to our need for a savior, our sinful state, and how we were lost. And we agreed with you, and we've been so blessed because of it. We pray that as ones who are now separated, we would be separated ones because not all of your people have a desire to listen to you and to obey you and to even be willing, if it calls for it, to sacrifice relationships. We just trust you and we want to side with you. We know that that's got to be the way of blessing, and compromise cannot bring about your blessing the way a faithful adherence to your word will. So we just pray that we would be stirred up to want to know what you've said and then to carry it out at any cost so that we could see what would come in the end, the blessing that would come from your hand, not only for us, but for everyone that knows us. So we just ask these things, give you thanks, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Scott.